Happy Tuesday, May 1st. The calendar turns on the Ira Kaufman Podcast post-draft edition. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. It's the Sage Podcast. The Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is here. Ira Kaufman, Lee DeCamper from Joe Bucks Fan is here. Of course, Ira, we're presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. First of the month means those great offers from April are just winding down. Some of them are still good through today. You can look at EdMorseCadillacTampa.com or EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. But, you know, Ira, gives us a good chance as the offers change this month just to talk about the 70-plus years of Ed Morse, quality dealerships, family-owned across the whole state of Florida. And, of course, you've been out to both of them, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, just superior quality.
I might get a chance to have my hands behind the wheels of those dealerships, Lee. I can't believe my good fortune. May's going to be a good month. You know, it better be a good month because it was May of 2016 when I lost my job, Lee.
You need a better May.
We're almost in the two-year anniversary of the great and mighty Tampa Trib, 100 years in the making, shut down immediately, no final edition. It was a shocking moment. But along comes Joe Bucks Fan to save me from the gutter, Lee, and form a partnership with Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. So, you know what? We've turned May from a terrible month into a good month, and I'm looking forward to it.
That's a great segue.
And, of course, Ira, you're wearing your Ed Morse Cadillac polo in the smoke gunmetal gray, if you will, today.
And I'm on my way to Spectrum Sports.
Someone suggests it's pewter.
It could be pewter. I got my sports coat in my vehicle. Which is not a Cadillac at the moment, but that's going to be changed. This is our special post-draft podcast, Mr. Isbitz. So we got plenty to cover today.
It is plenty to cover, so much to cover, so many angles, so many directions. Of course, while you listen, great time to shop at the very easy websites to navigate. You can get live help, live chat help, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. So, Ira, let's just get right to it. We got all these people tuning in for your sage wisdom. Buccaneers, forget about the juggling, forget about the shifting, forget about the maneuvering. Vita Vea, 6'4", 347-pound defensive monster out of Washington. What do you think of the pick? Now you've had a little more time to have it soak in the scope of the rest of the draft. What do you think of this pick?
The first thing I got to say, in all honesty, his tape is damn impressive. Damn impressive. I hardly see one snap when one guy's trying to block him.
Yeah.
Hardly any. And he's still making plays. He's still pushing the pile. He moves very, very well for a man that size. He's going to occupy blockers. And who's going to benefit from that? Big Gerald McCoy. Now, don't be shocked in the Superdome when Drew Brees takes the first snap if Bo Allen is standing next to McCoy rather than Vita Vea. It could happen. And don't be apoplectic if it happens. V is going to get his playing time. But the whole idea behind this whole offseason purge in the defensive line is to build an eight-man rotation. And you know what? They have it. Five new additions. You add McCoy, Spence, and Golston, who I think is still going to be back, even though he's coming off a bad year. Those are eight guys. Those are your eight. And I don't see anybody that's going to really be added to that mix that's going to make an impact on the D-line right now. And look, we're going to talk more about the dynamics that went into drafting Vea, but at 12, I like him over Derwin James. I do. And I think he's going to end up being McCoy's replacement. I think that's eventually his value. He's going to replace McCoy. And, Lee, you guys have been talking about this. Now I think it's a reality. In a year or two, what's wrong with going to a 3-4? You got the centerpiece now.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got the classic Nagata 3-4 nose tackle on your roster right now. That's value.
Well, I just thought of this as you were talking about the defensive line. Jason Light and Dirk Cutter are not bashful about saying, stop the run, these guys eat up run. Well, I thought Will Golston was this warrior stopping the run. You know, one of the greatest run stoppers since the merger, if you listen to some.
He was good at it in 2016. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, they had to rebuild the defensive line. But yet, allegedly, because of the run, yet allegedly, Will Golston's on the roster. He's supposed to be so good at that. You're right. I'm not disagreeing. But if Will Golston was as good as they claimed he was, well, then why are you spending millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, not to mention draft capital, to stop the run if this guy was so good? Props to his agent. Got a guaranteed contract this year. Or I dare suggest Will Golston's not on the roster.
Well, I understand about the run-stuffing league, but Curry and Pierre-Paul in particular are here to put heat on the Breezes and the Matt Ryans of the world.
Oh, that's true, but they're also very good on the run.
Yeah, I mean, Pierre-Paul's well-rounded. Let me say this about Will Golston. I mentioned it in my Monday column. I think it bears repeating. I think there's a good chance he doesn't start Will Golston.
No.
And I don't think that's a terrible thing.
No.
Because Pierre-Paul has played a lot on the left side. I think that's added value for
primarily, he's a left-sided guy. That's where his sacks
come
from.
Most pass rushers come from the right. We all know that, the blind side and this and that, and that's why left tackles are premium.
Mm-hmm.
Pierre-Paul played a lot of left end for the New York Giants very effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Even the year he got 16 and a half sacks, a lot of times he was coming off the left edge. And if that's the case in Tampa, sorry, Will Golston, you're now a backup. And
well,
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, Will Golston was invisible on the passers. I mean, a complete non-factor. It was almost like he had 10 guys on the field, instead of 11. But Dirk Cutter at the owner's meeting was not bashful about saying that their hope is on passing downs, just what you said, JPP would be on the left side, they'll bring in Noah Spence on the right side on passing downs.
What I love about this overhaul, what I love, besides the rotation and guys won't wear down, theoretically, there's going to be some injuries, what I love the most is, Steve, now nobody's talking about Noah Spence. That's a good thing. Nobody's saying Spence is going to break, be the first guy since Simeon Rice to get the double-digit sackers. You know what? If Spence is healthy, God bless him.
Yeah.
He adds to the mix. But you're not counting on him.
Ira,
and that was a big problem last year.
I got one for you. I had to give you an idea how forgotten Noah Spence is. I can't remember his ESPN. I can't remember if it was NFL Network, but it was last week before the draft, and they were breaking down the entire Bucs defensive line, and they were talking about, you know, potentially the Bucs getting someone in the draft. They never mentioned Noah Spence.
That Light made that point.
It was like he was
Light
not even on the roster.
Made that point, and it's a big one. It's a big one.
Well, that point, Ira, applies to the whole defensive line, and I say that this way because you were talking about Golston. My biggest hope is that they've got a clear set of eyes here in Brenson Buckner, great reputation. Played the position, knows what's going on here. I hope he's able to come in and let these guys compete and pick who's going to play on this defensive line. I mean, if you got Buckner in here, trust him. And you know what? If Will Golston looks better than Vinnie Curry, I expect him on the field. I don't
Thank
expect
you.
These games of this guy looks better if Vita Vea isn't ready
Swaggy
for a while.
Swaggy Baker days are over, my friend.
Yeah, if Vea isn't ready right away, okay. So he doesn't play.
You got Bo Allen.
Yeah, and if Noah Spence looks like $1 million and he's not hurt yet, well, let him play two games until he blows his shoulder out. I mean, I don't want to see any of this BS, and rotation is nice, but they need the best guys on the field through those three games. Otherwise, they'll rotate themselves and politic themselves right out of the race.
I'm glad you mentioned Buckner, because Lee, one thing that wasn't mentioned a lot by any of the pundits Thursday night after they picked Vita Vea, Buckner had a big, big hand in it. You and I didn't talk to him about it. We don't have a quote from Cutter about it. We just know it. Some things you just know.
Yeah, he had him.
They don't
sure.
take Vea if Buckner wasn't impressed with Vea. Tell me where I'm wrong on that. They're putting a lot of faith in Buckner.
I know for a fact, and I'm not going to say how I know this, but I didn't know they were going to pick him, but I know for a fact that Light was very high on Vea 2 weeks before the draft. I knew this, but I'm not going to say how I know it. You know how.
Buckner reinforced it.
You would think so, but if the general manager is sold on the guy, kind of hard to, you know, for example.
I don't know, Lee. Well, I don't know. I think Buckner could have scuttled it.
Well, I'll give you an example. Cutter wanted Mariota. He didn't want Jameis. Who'd the Bucs draft? Wasn't Mariota.
I mean, I think by the time the drafts came around, Cutter, allegedly, the story goes, was in Jameis's camp. But to go back to Vea, look, if Brenson Buckner, he would need a drug test if he's looking at a guy who's a great a guy who's a great athlete at 6'4", 340.
A little lateral.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at a guy who's 6'4", 347, and he's active, if you're a D-line coach, you're out of your mind if you don't want this guy.
What are you going to say? I want Derwin James if you're Buckner?
I'm not giving Buckner credit for that. Two things, Ira, on Vea. Questions for you. Sage wisdom questions. And I'll ask them, and you answer both, okay? So if you need a pencil, I got six.
Sage, I got six of them.
Peter King, in his one and only.
Popcorn munching, guzzling, beer guzzling, Peter King.
Parrot insensitive.
There you go.
Peter King, in his one and only mock draft that he puts out before the draft, he pegged Villa for the Dolphins, pegged him as a possible Sue replacement.
That's right.
And said that he's got weight issues, and that's something to watch. Now, I did a little more digging when I first saw that and had saw something before. There's stuff out there that Villa's got some weight issues. Are you concerned? And what would you like to see from that? And question number two, well, go with that first.
All right. A lot of people have compared, Nagati is the first guy, but I've also heard him compared to Sue.
Haloti Ngata.
Yes. Ngata. That's right. And look, I don't think he's got the pass rushing skills of Sue. I don't. Because Sue, I think, has had a double-digit sack season in the NFL. I don't think Vay is going to ever have that. That's fine. Steve, I'm not in a hurry to see him drop 15 pounds because movement is not a problem from what I've seen on film. They need a wide body. They drafted him because he's a wide body who can move. I don't want to see him slim down to 321, you know, and get overpowered. So I think that's a non-issue. You may continue, Mr. Isbell.
And I guess my other question was, Dirk Koetter was pretty adamant Friday saying, you know, Vea's got pass rushing skills and, you know, you go turn on the film.
Washington State tape.
Yeah. Isn't it fair to say, Ira, if he had that much pass rushing skill and given his size and his run stuffing ability, he would have been a top 7 or 8 pick?
Sure.
I mean, Chubb was the clear-cut best defensive lineman in this draft, and just because the Bucs went and got Vea at number 12 doesn't change that. Chubb, by all scouts, you know, consensus, was the guy. And by the way, he's not just a pass rusher, Chubb. He's solid against the run. He's a well-rounded defensive end.
Consensus that Vea was the top defensive tackle.
Yes. Look, I wanted Vea over Derwin James. I think it's the right call. We'll get into it more. But once Nelson was off the board, and I want to talk about Nelson a little bit more later. And, Lee, you weren't there, but Steve was right next to me watching on the big board outside at Wild Wings in South Tampa. As soon as the Colts took Nelson, within 3 seconds, the chant emerged.
Trade down.
These Buck fans are not stupid, Steve. They know what they're doing. They went into the draft with a plan, and their plan matched light, and thankfully – the Bucs were able to match up with a desperate Buffalo team who wanted a quarterback. If not, taking Vea at seven and not getting those extra picks, this draft would have a whole different dynamic.
So, Ira, what you're saying is if I buy you bottles of Riesling, you'll quit calling me stupid?
You don't have to buy me 2 bottles of Riesling. I picked up 2 at the draft party. Some guy took it out of his bag. I ran to my car, put them in there, and I've already guzzled 1 down.
Nice.
So I think the guy's name is Ray's Buck or something. I my thanks go out to him.
You don't know who gave you a bottle of wine? What kind of respect is that?
I'm a little giddy. I'm still a little drunk. I don't remember the guy's name.
I can pull up his name momentarily. But you know what? You guys are talking about Vea. You're talking about Brenston Buckner. And, Steve, you did the research on this, I think. Doesn't Buckner have a history of doing really well with monster defensive linemen?
Yeah, he's
Campbell in particular.
He's got a history with a handful of guys of really oversized defensive linemen.
And so does Mike Smith. So does Mike Smith, well, the D-tackle.
Mike Smith, we...
Can I mention Mike Smith without a grimace coming to your face over there?
Worst defense in the league,
We got to see some more on the field for Mr. Smith. But you know what? But who's a monster defensive end? 6'6", 285, Will Golston. So maybe there's some hope there for Buckner to resurrect.
I was talking specifically a D-tackle.
Yeah, I understand.
He had those 2 big guys.
Yeah, he had those.
And they were stout.
Absolutely. Look, Mike Smith's got a good resume in this league that we hope gets a lot better than last year's
stain. I believe it was Messrs. Stroud, Marcus Stroud or something, and John Henderson.
I'm glad you qualified that.
Both were 310-pounders.
I'm glad you qualified
and Jacksonville was very strong against the run.
The gentleman's handle you're asking about, who graciously gave you a couple bottles of Riesling, Rodzilla the Killer.
Rodzilla the Killer. He's my new man.
Yeah, Rodzilla's an icon on the Bucs.
Step aside, Javier. You've been replaced. Nah, I'm kidding, Javier. You're always great.
Rodzilla's an icon on the Bucs Uncensored podcast, in from out of town, I'm quite certain.
Yeah, all right. From the Midwest, he says.
Speaking of out of town, Ira, we will need all Bucs fans interested in going to New Orleans for opening day for what has been coined the Bourbon Street Takeover. We need them to text TAKEOVER to 345-345. Text TAKEOVER to 345-345. That's going to get you the constant alerts as the information comes down for the fanretreat.com Joe Bucks fan, Ira Kaufman, Bucks Uncensored, trip to Bourbon Street.
It's official. It's going to be week one.
Week one, September 8th and 9th. The 9th is the game. 8th is going to be an event the night before. Drinking, merriment. Ira and the commish will be addressing fans, Q&A, screaming. It's going to be crazy. Ira will be, you know, when I saw you at the draft party the other night, Ira, every time I saw you, Lee, you'll get a visual of this. Every time I see Ira, he's got a different color drink in his hand. Like, first, he's got something with a lime in it. It's kind of small. It's red. Then he's,
that was a vodka creme.
Then he's got something clear. Then he's got some wine. It's just a colorful guy, this Ira Kaufman. I hope you didn't vomit in multicolors.
Absolutely not.
Good. So fanretreat.com, of course, that's your one-stop shop for all event tickets, including Lightning tickets, Bucks tickets, Bette Midler, whatever you're fancy.
And I'm booking my New Orleans trip this week. I'm booking it.
People are even buying Rays tickets. I told you guys not to freak out on the Rays. Everything would be fine. So here you go. Here we are. Anyway,
7.5 games back. Don't get too excited.
Calm down, Ira. Where are your Giants, Ira? Where are your Giants?
Giants looking up at the Arizona Diamondbacks. Looking up.
All right. Fanretreat.com. They will be spearheading the trip with a great hotel discount and some ticket opportunities. If there's enough response, and there probably will be, but there's going to be some research into chartering a plane, possibly. So there's a lot of stuff going on, but to get the details, text TAKEOVER to 345-345. They got over 100 texts in from the draft party.
There's going to be discounts already on seats too, right, Steve, potentially?
Well, there'll be some discounts because you'll get a discount code from Fan Retreat to purchase tickets on their website, or they may have some group sales options. But if they get a block of 30 tickets from the Saints, that's not going to cover everybody going on the trip. So definitely send in your text. Check out JoeBucksFan.com. All the information will be flowing.
Any chance we can wangle somebody from One Buck Place to come over to that Saturday night party, Steve? You never know.
And we will see.
Quick one for, you know, since you're talking about Fan Retreat and Ira with the Giants. That Giants trade, Longoria for Denard Span's not looking so good for the Giants.
He just hit his sixth homer, DeKemper. It was a three-run shot to beat the Dodgers. Take it easy there, Lee. Take it easy. Denard Span will end up with hitting 261 with 11 steals. I know from experience.
Ira's going to be at Ducky's celebrating shortly.
Steve, I want to say a couple of things about the draft before you get
well, we're going to Ronald Jones. You don't want to go to Ronald Jones?
No, but before Ronald Jones.
The floor is yours.
All right. Lee, now, I'm trying to give our listeners a sense that the ones that weren't there, the two or three that didn't show up Thursday
the party
night.
Okay.
Yeah. What went on early? Now, Steve, I believe the draft basically started, with a glorious start with the Browns being the Browns and taking Denzel Ward at number four. That triggered a massive eruption among Buck fans. The first thing they thought of is, wait a minute. We're going to get Chubb or Nelson. That's the first thing they thought of, and I was thinking the same thing. That was followed about 20 minutes later by what I'm describing. And look, I know they got Vea, and I know they traded back, and I am describing it as a gut punch, a 320-pound gut punch. When the Colts stuck to their ground, stuck to their board, rebuffed trade offers from the Bills, who wanted to move up to six, and who knows what they were willing to give the Colts, and the Colts were already loaded with extra draft picks. They could have got more draft picks. No, they didn't do it, and they took the guy that Lee and I and you have been talking about for weeks, and Quentin Nelson, great pick by the Colts, a gut punch to the Bucks. But they did the next best thing, so give Light credit. Because I don't think there was an obvious guy to take at number seven. There wasn't.
No.
And so he picked up those two picks. But, boy, that elation over Ward, because the Browns being the – just think of it this way, Steve. The Browns could have had Saquon Barkley and a top-notch rookie quarterback. And instead, they got Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward. That's the Browns being the Browns.
Well, I read something this morning. I can't remember what it was, but they said there was a disconnect between what NFL people thought of Baker Mayfield and what the full-time draft Knicks think of Baker Mayfield. Obviously, the NFL thought better of him.
In the words of the Mad Dog on his Friday show of reviewing the first round, Baker Mayfield has to be wearing a gold jacket in about 20 years as an entrant into the Hall of Fame to justify him being the first pick in that draft.
Oh,
now that's a little high. That's a little high, Steve.
Well, Ira, I'm going to scold you a little bit because you know, John.
You didn't write anything down. How can you scold me?
It's fresh in my head.
There you go.
So what? The Browns have a new GM, right? John Dorsey, your guy from the
Harold
Chiefs?
Yeah, from his Chiefs, yeah.
So this is a guy who knows what he's doing, and you keep lecturing everybody, stick with your board. If Baker Mayfield was their top QB, what are they supposed to do?
I'm talking more about number four. Nobody had Ward going fourth. Nobody.
Well, you heard his explanation, didn't
you? Nobody.
Well, nobody doesn't have access to his board at the Cleveland front office.
What's the explanation?
They said if you look at their tape from last year, who's the defensive end they took last year?
Miles Garrett.
They said Miles Garrett and someone else were literally one and two steps away from hitting the quarterback X amount of times, but their cornerbacks were so lousy that not only were they couldn't cover, receivers were getting open quicker. And his theory was if they had better coverage, they would have had a heck of a lot more sacks.
I
thought you were talking about Jason Light for a minute. Go ahead.
I think that was clearly a case of the Browns abandoning their board and taking Ward for need, and that's what Light didn't do, and so I'm applauding Light, and I'm smacking Dorsey around. You don't take a guy with a lesser rating because you're desperate to get a cornerback. That's going to bite you in the butt, and I don't think Ward is going to ever be a Pro Bowl cornerback. That's my opinion.
All right, Sage, hard words from the
hard
man.
Words.
From now, what if the Bucks would have drafted Ward? I've been going at it with Bucks fans
maybe
for
at
months.
12. Maybe at 12. Okay. I would have been okay with it. Maybe at 12.
Well, look, Ira's fired up, and of course,
there he is.
If you're listening to Ira now on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, leave a review, subscribe to the podcast. That's how you get a free alert. So you know when it posts, it pops in your phone, you get that heads up. And it makes you feel good because you know there's sage wisdom right in your phone. Ira, many people listen on subscription, but of course, thousands listen right off joebucksfan.com. So
one,
we
one
appreciate
more thing
that.
On the Vea pick. One more. Nobody can logically argue that was Light going for his priorities because at that point, they already had four new defensive linemen.
Yeah, good point.
And
yeah.
So you could certainly say corner, running back, and safety, especially with James sitting there at 12, were bigger needs. So nobody can say that Light abandoned his board at number 12.
Well, I think,
nobody.
As far as Derwin James goes, you know, like I said, I wasn't against the Bucks picking him. My only, not even an issue, my only question about James was the way people were talking about him, oh, you can use him at linebacker, you can use him here, you can use him there. I did not see that at Florida State. So to me, you're making, for me, to say that you could put him here, put him there, put him everywhere, that's a big jump from what I saw with my own eyes on TV. You know, I could be seeing things wrong. I didn't see that same player. Not to say he can't be, not to say he won't be. I just never saw that. So I'm wondering where people get this information from, that he was this transcendent player when he didn't show that in college.
You know, Steve, this Swiss Army knife nonsense.
I know where you're going.
Versatility with the Minka Fitzpatricks. You use him here, you use him there. He's a blitzer. He's this. Take it easy, people. You know what you should do as a defensive back? Cover people. We're going to get to that later. And Derwin James, I don't think, is an outstanding cover safety. And that's what I'm looking
for. All right, Sage. I like to call it Tyrann Mathieu syndrome, but he was out there in free agency. You could have signed him if you wanted that guy.
Real quick about James and the Bucks. Chris Sims this morning, we're taping this Monday. Chris Sims this morning on Pro Football Talk, where intelligent people watch with Mike Florio, NBC Sports Network. He said the reason why the Bucks didn't draft James, he's more linebacker than a safety.
There you go.
And the Bucks obviously are loaded linebacker.
There you go.
All right, Sage, round two of the draft comes. Now the Buccaneers have three picks. For me, that's what made the Vea selection just right because it left them with 3 second-round picks. So here they go. Nick Chubb's off the board immediately to the Browns to start the draft. Number 38 pick comes up.
Michelle's gone, right, at that point?
Yep. The fifth running back off the board in the draft goes to the Bucs, Ronald Jones, USC. Your thoughts?
I'm going to put it like this, very simply, Lee. Jones is the make-or-break player in this Buck draft. He is the make-or-break player. Vea is going to be good. I don't think he's going to have a dramatic impact as a rookie. I'm going to stand by it. Jones better have a dramatic impact. Jones is the big play guy. The big play guy. He's not a plotter. He's the guy that turns the 6-yard gain into a 37-yard gain. And boy, do they need it.
Mm-hmm.
Original research, Mr. Isbitz, in my Monday morning column. Original research. 5 runs of 20 yards or more from the Bucs all season long.
That's dead.
Five.
Dead.
40-yard runs, the big zero. Mm. Crickets, as many as you, DeKemper. Zero.
And what's
Here comes Jones. Oh. Along came Jones. And that's what he did at Southern Cal. That's what he did. That's why he's a buck, to break those runs, change field position, and provide a little balance for Dirk Cutter to do his thing like he did in 2015 and like he hasn't done for the last two seasons.
And what is Cutter always
Jones talking about? Jones is the critical piece.
What is Cutter always talking about? Always talks about.
Balance.
Explosive plays.
Explosive plays.
Yeah. And that's
Jones. That's what Jones is here for. Now, he didn't catch a lot of balls. That's a big part, of potentially of Cutter's. Mm-hmm. That might be why Sims and Sims has been re-signed. Peyton Barber's not exceptional as a pass-catching back. Jones didn't show it at Southern Cal. I got the feeling they think Jones has more to give as a pass catcher, but he's here primarily to run that football, split some time with Barber. I think he's going to end up getting more touches than Barber will. He is the make-or-break guy in this draft for the Bucs in 2018.
The thing with Ronald Jones and pass catching, and that's an excellent point you make. Very good point about Sims. I didn't think of it that way. That's a good point. You know, as much as I criticize Charles Sims, he's a good pass catcher. I always call him one-trick pony. That's his trick. Now, with Jones, you know, a lot of people, a lot of Bucs fans, not all, but, well, some. I won't say a lot. Some, they point to that. Like, well, he didn't catch many passes. In college, if you're breaking off 120-yard games all the time, why in the heck would you throw the ball? You're going to give him the rock and let him, like you said, explode for 40 yards.
What's unusual about Jones, Lee, is, you know, his 40 time is okay. Just okay.
4.46?
He's not a burner, per se, at the running back position. Yet, his forte is big runs, long runs. He's really good at it. Can that translate to the pro level? What do you think of that pick, Steven?
I think he absolutely is not the make-or-break pick.
Not the make-or-break pick?
No, not at all.
Now you're back to Peyton Barber and Charles Sims.
I'm going
to
stick with this because, look.
And you didn't get Nelson.
People can disagree all day long. The guy who ran this team into the turf last year was a combination of a two-headed monster, Dirk Cutter and Doug Martin. And the mere absence
Do I have to hear Doug Martin on my podcast
once
again?
It ties this make or break.
It poisons your podcast.
So you don't think with Ryan Jensen and Marpet back at guard that Peyton Barber and the clowns behind him forget
no,
it?
No, I do not.
You don't think they can move the football with those guys? How did they lead the league in first
downs
last year?
They're not going to get big runs. They're not going to get the breakaway runs.
You're right, Ira. But
they're not going to get it.
You don't think so?
They'll still move the football very well.
Where's my explosive plays? Where are they?
How many receivers you need? You need explosive out of the backfield too. Well, you got supposedly the most explosive tight end in.
As we said, I got. How much confidence do I have that Jameis and DeSean Jackson are going to hook up?
Okay, I was thinking about this driving in here. You know who's worse at these long passes? You're always whining about
who?
Drew Brees. There was a guy who did a study.
Don't you say one negative thing about Drew Brees?
I love Drew Brees.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
Thank you, and you would know better. You're a voter. A guy for Football Outsiders spent Lord knows how many days charting every pass in the NFL from every quarterback. And Jameis is not the worst passer for 40 yards in his division. It's Drew Brees. So
that's an example of stats gone wild.
Well,
stats run wild.
And Jameis is a horrible quarterback because he can't hook up a DeSean.
Who said he was a horrible quarterback?
You.
I said he can't hit DeSean Jackson on a fly pass.
And a couple weeks ago, you all but said you might as well find another quarterback because he can't hit DeSean Jackson. No, he has no trouble with Evans.
I said if the evidence is overwhelming with the Uber driver.
I mean,
you see how he twists things over there? He's getting worse than you, Ispitz. No, I've been backing Jameis Winston. I've been saying I believe in Jameis.
All right, you wrote a whole column a couple of weeks ago on that. Look.
Ronald Jones has to break runs.
My point is, you said make or break player in this draft. So I disagree because if Ronald Jones, God forbid, blows his knee out in preseason, I'm not worried about it. If one of these other players.
You're the only guy in Hillsborough County that's not worried about it.
I'm sorry. You know what? And I hope Peyton Barber plays. If he shows up in preseason, it looks better than Jones. None of this BS. You got to earn it. He's still a second-round rookie. I hope he's great. And I hope they figure out how to use him.
Lee, what is this infatuation with Peyton Barber? To me, he's an okay number two back.
He's okay. But
what's this infatuation?
I get where Steve's coming from. Earn it. If Peyton Barber is getting more yards than anybody else, feed him the ball. Right. Don't play political games like Doug Martin.
Ira, what was your problem with the Bucs running game the last 5 weeks of the season?
It was okay.
Okay.
It was
okay enough.
It was better than garbage.
It was okay enough to move the ball and they're lighting it up.
I'm looking for something like 2015. It seems like eons ago. I'm looking for 2015.
Doesn't it though? I'm looking for it too. I just don't think that they. I don't think they're going to have a problem scoring if Ronald Jones isn't the guy. That's all.
Here's Ronald Jones' point for you, Ira. You know, we were discussing a little earlier about pass catching, and some people are skittish because he didn't show that in games. And I said, well, of course not. You're not going to take the ball away from him, you know, when he's breaking off 6 yards of carry, et cetera. Obviously, the Bucs worked out Jones at USC. They were at his pro day. They brought him into Tampa. You don't think they had him throw the – somebody had him throw the ball to him, see if he can catch? Of course so.
I'm going to give you the word for the day, Lee. I'm going to do it right in the middle of this podcast, and it's directed towards – our fearless leader, Mr. Isbitz. You're being disingenuous.
That's a good word.
Don't ask me to spell it.
No,
and I'll tell you why. Because going into
why
the draft.
Why do you spell it?
Watch this. Watch this, Lee. Watch this. I got him pinned to the mat like Bruno Sammartino, the late, great Sammartino. Going into the draft, Lee, running back was the number two priority behind cornerback.
Absolutely.
I
would say number
one.
Okay.
And I don't want Isbitz to even argue that point.
I would say number one.
Of course it was number two or number one. And now all of a sudden – he's trying to tell me, I'm beautiful with Peyton Barber and Sims and Josh.
No, I'm telling you, he's not the make or break guy. That's all. I'm hoping that he comes in here and does great. And
who is? Carlton Davis? I mean, who?
Right, well, let's move to the cornerbacks.
All right, let's move to the cornerbacks. Let's move to the cornerbacks.
Let's move to the cornerbacks. And, of course, running back was a huge need because they had three on the roster. They don't even have more. They needed bodies.
So these are the two picks they got from Buffalo, correct?
Two picks from Buffalo. So five.
Hell of a trade, by the way.
Five cornerbacks were drafted in the second round, Ira. They're all going to be compared for years. The five cornerbacks, reasonably close in the second round. First, the Bucs take MJ Stewart out of North Carolina, and he's 53rd overall. Then they go down to Carlton Davis, 63 overall, and those are their cornerbacks. So we'll throw it out same way, Ira. I'm bowling the ball right at you. Your thoughts?
They haven't played it down, so I'm not calling them shaky picks. But, Lee, I'll say this. Between the two of them, they didn't have a damn pick the last two seasons. I want ball skills.
One pick.
I want guys who turn around when the ball's in the air. Don't look at the receiver and don't even know the ball's in the air. I'm tired of looking at that around here. Brent Grimes doesn't do that. Brent Grimes turns around. He plays the ball. Is it Jason Light's fault that Josh Jackson was off the board? That guy's got ball skills from Iowa.
He wasn't off the board when Stewart was picked.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah, I believe he was.
No,
yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Isaiah. Isaiah's the guy I'm thinking of.
Isaiah
Oliver.
I'm talking about the kid from Iowa.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
He's got ball skills.
Jones, when he picked Jones, he was on the board.
He takes the ball away. The Bucs don't have that. Stewart is physical. He's going to be strong in run support. That's all nice. That's like saying your pitcher can hit 240 and hit four homers once in a while. Can he pitch?
Or can Michael Clayton block?
I want to know that Stewart's got ball skills. As far as Mr. Davis is concerned, correct me if I'm wrong, which I know you will, he was drafted almost primarily because he's 6'1". All right, he's 6'1". Last time the Bucs drafted a corner because of his length was your man who ended up with Mercer.
Jonathan
Banks.
Oh, yeah,
who
yeah,
was
yeah.
tall and lanky. And you know what? To be fair, looked pretty damn good.
His rookie year,
Rookie year. I don't know what happened to Jonathan Banks.
Lovey.
He's out of football.
Yeah, he's high school. Well, he's coaching high school football, but yeah.
So all I'm saying is before I put all my stock in Mr. Davis, Mr. Stewart, you know, I still see Hargraves. I still see Ryan Smith. And what I'm saying is the pass rush better be good because I still don't trust this group as a group to cover. I'm sorry.
For a minute there, I thought you were going
Let's not go crazy over these two cornerbacks.
For a minute there, I thought you were going to invoke Myron Lewis's name. You're talking about poisoning your
podcast. No, I can't. I'm not going to Myron Lewis.
All right, Ira, first of all, you know, you brought up these names, these old cornerbacks.
Let's not be pie in the sky over these two guys.
People are driving off US 19. Accidents are being. You got to be careful what you say.
Insurance rates are going up as a result.
No, seriously.
We're going to be brutally honest on this podcast.
All right, well, let's be brutally honest. We're two cornerbacks in the second round. Is that a flat-out, in-your-face referendum against Vernon Hargraves and the fact the organization doesn't think this guy is going to make it?
Lee, I can't believe he's even asking that question. That's like, is the sky blue today? Yes, it is. If Hargraves had gotten the job done in his first 2 years, They're not desperate at cornerback opposite Brent Grimes. Instead, I would be shocked if they even give Hargraves a chance as an outside corner. They like him inside, keep him inside.
I didn't think he was all that horrible as a rookie. You know, a rookie. Rookie. I emphasize the word rookie. He was 5 years in the league, and he played like he did as a rookie. Yeah, there'd be some concern. He fell off the map last year. Completely fell off the map. And like I've said many times, I promise you, Jason Light nor any general manager would spend, what, number 11 pick overall? 11 pick overall on a slot corner. That's not going to happen.
By the way, speaking of Hargraves, this kid, Davis, he is the anti-Hargraves in a very fundamental respect. He's a press corner
who
likes to play up and smack that guy around in the first 5 yards. Have you ever seen Vernon Hargraves do that?
I haven't.
By the way, Grimes doesn't do it either.
Well, Grimes doesn't do it.
But I
haven't seen any.
Davis plays right in your face.
You know.
So just by that standard, he's very different than Hargraves.
Oh, yeah. Now, Chris Sims, you know, I'll be honest with you. When they drafted these two guys, I was a little lukewarm. To be very fair, I can count on one hand how many plays I saw these guys all college football season. Unless North Carolina is playing a local team or a team I follow, I never watched them. Davis played for LSU. Auburn.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Auburn fan, so I haven't seen him much. But I have to admit, I was a little lukewarm. And then I saw Chris Sims talking about these guys. Chris Sims thought Davis was the most underrated corner in the draft.
Yes, yeah,
that's coming from a quarterback. So, okay. Now this other...
And he played well against some of the SEC's better receivers, to be fair.
And you know what? And this is a point I made in the story. And this isn't glowing about Davis, but people were whining about how Bucks, this Isaiah from Colorado, who was rated higher than these guys the Bucks drafted, well, he faced some excellent quarterbacks in the Pac-12. Look at the draft. Three guys in, what, the first five rounds? Two of which were in the first 20? You know? So he faced a lot better quarterbacks than there were in the SEC. I'm not saying the SEC was better, or the ACC, I should say. Both those guys, ACC and SEC. I'm not saying those are worse conferences than Pac-12, but they were better quarterbacks than Pac-12. Much better.
The saving grace, Steve, the saving grace, before you bury in on me, and I know you're chomping at the bit. Steve, the saving grace for the Bucs pass defense, which by all standards was atrocious in 2017. Atrocious. The saving grace is the pass rush is going to be better.
It
better be a lot better, but it's got to be better.
Yeah.
It can't be any worse than 22 sacks last in the league. It's going to be better. That will help everybody in that sector.
But didn't Cutter all but say Friday night that reason why these corners were drafted is because they can play on the line and get these guys off their tracks?
Now, the danger is, you know, if you don't get the guy off his track, he's by you. He's past you, and now you scramble. That's the danger.
There's a lot of dangers, but let's go back to the corners in general, right? So, okay, you agree, yes, this is absolutely a referendum against Vernon Hargraves. Now,
as an outside corner.
Right.
Yeah,
we heard Cutter rave about how any team would want Vernon in the whole league, he said at the owners' meetings, any team would want Vernon as their nickel. So I have to think he's the nickel. These guys will fight it at corner. So is it fair to say, Ira, that Jason Light, all he has to do is hit on one of these corners. If one of them can play and one's a bust, we win. You know what I'm saying? That he helped his odds here.
He did, but, you know, I think it's still very questionable. Look, here's your corners in a quarterback-rich division. Grimes, Hargraves, Smith, Davis, and Stewart, and Elliott. Is Matt Ryan crying himself to sleep at night? I mean, let's be honest.
Well, we got to give the kids a chance.
You got to have three or four good corners in this league, the way the league's constructed.
Well, just
now.
The way the division's constructed.
And with all the rules.
Yeah, all the rules.
You better have corners.
I'll say this for MJ Stewart, and I wrote this Monday morning on JoeBucksFan.com. In a way, I feel sorry for the guy because a lot of Bucks fans already have this guy written off. They've already made up their mind. This guy was overdrafted. He's going to be a bust, you name it.
I think he could compete at the slot. I think Stewart, more than Davis. I think Stewart could end up competing against Hargraves.
Or that guy they got from Pitt. But what I'm saying is about Stewart, it's sort of like what had happened to Donovan Smith what has happened with Vernon Hargreaves, people didn't like them being drafted for whatever reason, and there's virtually nothing these guys can do outside of leave the team that would satisfy some fans.
Now, they haven't played a damn down yet, so that's not fair.
Well, that's what happened with Donovan Smith. You know, he hadn't even come to a rookie training camp. Oh, he's a right guard and all his nonsense. And Hargreaves, oh, he's too small. So I'm not saying all Bucks fans. I'm not saying a majority, but a loud sect already had their minds made up. This guy's a bust, and he hasn't even come to town yet,
Steve,
for all I know.
All I'm saying is that any Buck fan after Friday night who went to sleep thinking they've solved all their cornerback problems, that's misguided. That's misguided.
To be determined at best.
You know, that's a leap of faith.
Yeah.
I got you, Sage. We have much more to talk about that as the spring
rolls
on.
And I'm not sure what else Light could have done. He had to get Jones. He had to get Jones with that early second-round pick. Veya was the highest-rated guy that was still on the buckboard that made any sense at 12. So what's Light going to do? He's told us before, Lee, you can't fix everything at once. You can't.
Didn't the Packers draft like four or five corners?
They drafted two top-shelf corners.
Josh Jackson being one of them, which a lot of Bucks fans wanted.
Very interesting stuff there with the way the Packers approach their massive corner needs. They went big, Bucks went small, but
it's hard to find, Steve, these guys with ball skills. It's hard. You can find corners with run support that are tough and physical and stout. You can find that. Ball skills, very elusive.
All right, Ira, now let's first remind everybody, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, thank you for their support of all your columns Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Of course, if you're not reading Ira's columns, he's very upset with you. And the podcast they support as well. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. So, Ira, let's transition to round three for your sage wisdom. Now, the Bucks did some shuffling, and they got back into the third round late to draft a guy out of Humboldt State, Division II, four-time Division II lineman of the year, or a conference guy of the year, whatever, Alex Kappa, long blonde hair, 6'6", 3'10". Jason Light thinks he's an animal. We've heard that before. And, of course, the easy comparison is this guy's the next Ali Marpet, but he's still coming in as a late third rounder. What do you think of that pick?
Well, the comparisons to Marpet continue because not only is he not from a Division I school, Lee, but they got him pegged at guard, which is where they had Ali Marpet, at least for his first two seasons.
And where's Swayze supposed to be?
Yeah. Now, Lee, I may not know my football, but I don't know a lot of 6'7 guards in this
league. That's true.
So, you know, Light and Cutter can say all they want about that right guard spot, because it looks like Marpet is going to play left guard this year for whatever reason. That's a whole nother can of worms. I think he's going to end up at right tackle, the Kappa kid, if he's any good and if he stays on the team.
And Ben Knight's going to be right guard?
I think he's going to compete at right tackle. Dotson coming off an ankle. Dotson, longest tenured Buck, not getting any younger. And as Lee's going to point out in about 3 seconds, he's starting to break down. Damar Dotson's starting to break down. He's missing a lot of games. What's wrong with Kappa having a shot at right tackle?
Nothing wrong with that.
A shot. You know, I expect Dotson, if he's physically capable, to start week one against New Orleans. But down the line, I see Kappa as a right tackle. That's the way I look at it.
You like the pick?
Yeah, I do like the pick because he backs up the fury in the trenches, which has been the whole theme of the offseason. And what have we been talking about? They must be listening to our podcast, Lee. They must be.
Or watching.
We don't want to get too carried away. But we've been talking about this since the day after the season ended. Buckle up, people. Tighten up those trenches. Mm-hmm. Give me physical guys, nasty guys. That's what they've done. Mm-hmm. Nasty, nasty. Jensen, Kappa. Nasty, nasty. Well, Bo Allen, nasty.
Veya,
nasty. That's the theme. You know, the one-word theme, nasty.
Well, this Kappa character, you know, Mayock said he's one, and I'll write this up sometime this week. I got the tape. I just haven't recorded or transcribed it yet. Mayock loved him. He's a violent player. And I love the word violent when it comes offensive lineman. But, you know, all these draft guides, by far, most, I won't say all, but 98%, oh, they have the Bucks at B or C. You know, I don't know how many teams are given Ds or whatever. One of the exceptions is Evan Silva, RotoWorld, who's a stat geek kind of guy. He's a smart guy. He's got some interesting angles. And he said, this Kappa guy, yeah, he's violent, but he's got pathetic technique. This guy is raw as heck. They basically got to build him from the ground up. So
enter the O-line coach. You've got two years to turn this guy into a player. I'll tell you how to see what Light thought of this Kappa guy, Steve. He could have gone to bed Friday night with the thought, you know, hey, we got the second pick in the fourth round, and we're going to get Kappa. He didn't do that. He thought he was going to get taken before the second pick. You're only talking about, you know, what, five, six picks going? He thought Kappa was going to get plucked. He said, not on my watch. That tells you he really wanted this guy.
All right, two quick ones, Ira. First, just shooting back, I forgot to mention, you know, Lee expressed that Chris Sims likes Carlton Davis, the corner out of Auburn. Mark Dominic, when he was on Sirius this weekend, said of Davis, he didn't understand that situation. He couldn't believe that Davis fell that far and or why the Bucks took Stewart over Davis.
Right.
And Dominic said, I must have missed something. But quick question, is Dominic liking the guy? Is that a kiss of death?
Well, I call him Mark 28 and 52 Dominic. I mean, I'm going to continue doing that. Now, it's funny you say that because I was just thinking this the other day, and I don't wish this on anybody. Certainly, you know, the better the team does, the better Joe Bucks fan does. But if Light goes 6-10, if he does, I'm going to call him 28-52 Light. He's going to have the same record as Mark Dominic. That's funny.
With a better draft.
It's funny and it's sick.
With a better draft record.
he's going to have the same record in the same amount of seasons as Mark Dominic.
As you would say, that
I can't remember somebody. somebody of note. I can't remember who it was, but I linked to it last week on Joe Bucks Fan. You know, they said on paper this is a hell of a team. I don't know if that's a damning.
Oh, let's not go crazy.
No. This is what he said. He goes, I don't know if that's a damning allegation on the management or a damning allegation on Cutter. That's a fair point.
You know, I'm going to throw this out, Steve. They're top heavy. They're top heavy in a couple of areas. Targets, receivers plus tight ends.
Cheerleaders?
Top heavy. No,
doing a bad job.
Never mind that. And D-line. They're top heavy. You can never be top heavy in the D-line. I understand that. And they're a little light, to me, in the secondary. O-line, I still think, is not what it could be. That again, I
understand.
You know, it's like you with they haven't developed a corner. I'm like that with Quentin Nelson. Oh, would he have looked good at left guard? Oh, because then I would have finally agreed with Isbitz that you would have been fine with Peyton Barber because now your line's a hell of a lot better, and I could have bought it. But now I might see Sweezy or Benenock at right guard. And who knows about Dotson at right tackle?
I think you're going to see Evan Smith.
And
I
don't see a great offensive line. I don't see it.
I hear you, Ira. I hear you. Know? I still think you'll see Evan Smith at right guard. If I had to put a couple of nickels on it, that's who
bad.
I think will be there.
That's not bad.
All right. Now, you mentioned, Ira, the fury in the trenches. That was your quote. Fury, fury, fury. They got all these nasty guys. Fury, fury. Let me ask you a philosophical question here, Ira. They got all these guys. They went deep.
What am I, Jean-Paul Sartre over here? You're going to give me a philosophical question?
Exactly. So they went all out to get these physical guys, nasty element, focus of the draft, all this stuff. Do they need to coach differently? Does Dirk Cutter and Mike Smith, do they coach like nasty coaches that match the intensity of their players? Are they coaching guys to that mindset? What do you think?
I think you're going to see it translate in August.
I hope so.
In training camp, and I hope so, too.
They can't use the heat for an excuse with an indoor facility.
You know, I understand Cutter's philosophy last year. It was obvious to all to see. Let's not get anybody hurt. I mean, I understand it to a certain level. You do understand. Let's have all our soldiers ready when the season starts in Miami. And it turned out, you know, it started against Chicago. But, you know, that was the mantra. That was the month.
Then they go to Minnesota, and half the team's on IR.
But you know, there's a danger. There's a danger. I don't know if I'd call it a soft camp, but this year it's got to be a lot more competitive. The rules prohibit you from being too tough. You know, John Gruden's always talking about that. But, Steve, I think palpably in front of us and everybody in
the word
that come out in August, it has to seem like it's tougher and more rugged. It does.
With Vay being allegedly nasty, we know Ryan Jensen is. He's a center. Vay is a tackle. They should just go to Ryan Jensen, like, break this kid in. Whatever you have to do. Punch him, slap him, whatever. Make him know he's in the NFL.
The offensive linemen
see how
on this
he responds.
Team better buckle their chin straps in August because Vay, Bo Allen, Curry, Pierre Paul and company are gonna come after them.
Yeah, and this is where Brenton Buckner,
and that's like it should be.
This is where Buckner comes in as new blood, new juice. No one's gonna tell him not to run his guys hard. Dirk Cutter's not gonna say, "Hey, calm these guys down." No, no, it's not gonna happen. So, and there's a lot of competition there. They're gonna be all over the O line. I'd love to see. I'm not just talking about a nastier camp, Ira, because I think I don't have strong feelings that it was running soft, but I think the mentality's a little soft from Cutter. You know, if he sees Donovan Smith not finish a block the way he wants him to the extreme in practice, pull him out. Pull him out. You know, say, look, this is your contract here. You're going to play soft. You're not playing here. I think he's got to change some of the mentality
and
in
along
practice.
Those lines, Lee, you know what you might see? Not a bad thing. You might see some fisticuffs. You might see some fisticuffs. Now, Cutter, as we know, in the past 2 years, you know, since he's been head coach, every time something does break out, the first thing he says in the post, you know,
oh, he hates it.
Interview is, if any of you guys, if the takeaway is from today's session that there was a little fight, you don't know what you're seeing, you don't know what you're talking about. Well,
oh, he hates that,
well,
man.
I think I do know what I'm seeing, and if there's three fights on the field, I'm going to write about it, hey, and I'm going to talk about
John
it.
John Gruden considers you an expert in pro football, Ira, so there you go,
and
Mr.
And by the
Cutter.
Way, Dirk, if you're listening, you roughed me up again on Friday night. You took a little pot shot at me.
Ah,
I think I asked the last question on Friday. Isbitz wasn't there. I don't know if he saw the video. But my question basically was, how much more confident do you feel than at the end of the season with your ability and your tools to make Drew Brees more uncomfortable in the season opener? I thought I was being obvious that I was referring to the pass rush. And the defensive line. Drew Brees uncomfortable, to me that translates to the pass rush. Instead, he gave me some convoluted answer. Well, we didn't play well in the Superdome last year, and we got to do this.
But they beat him 2 years ago.
And then I said,
yeah.
Coach, I'm talking specifically about the defensive line. Oh, you didn't say that. I said it was assumed. Well, Steve? You saw the video. Did you have any problem understanding what I was trying to get to there?
No, but I know you a little better than Dirk Cutter does. I could see how he was thinking, maybe he missed the fact that you meant last game of the season. I don't know. I didn't think he was taking a shot.
A little pot shot there, DeKemper. What did DeKemper do while he was roughing me up? He left the room like I don't even notice.
No. As I told you Friday night, I was half paying attention because I was putting something out on Twitter about what Cutter had said earlier. And like I said, I wasn't paying full attention, but I got your question. I got the impression the same as Cutter, that you were asking generalities.
That's because you were thinking about the parrot on Saturday. You had your mind on that parrot. Can we stop talking about that damn parrot?
Peter King's upset with the parrot. Oh, Peter King wants to know why the parrot couldn't say the name of the draft pick.
I'm not talking about no parrot.
So stupid, I can't even go there. All right, Ira, we're going to move.
You haven't talked about the party
yet. We're moving very quickly now, Ira. Fourth round. Jordan Whitehead, safety, Darrell Revis's cousin, great athlete. What do you make of Dirk Cutter? I read in a local newspaper up there, Cutter went to the pro day and sat down and broke down film with the kid. Dirk Cutter doesn't go to a lot of pro days, Ira.
I'll tell you what I think. I think that kid's got a chance.
If your head coach goes to
I think that kid's got a chance to be a starter within the first month of the season. If Conte or Tandy don't pick up their game and they don't switch Stewart to safety, which I think is also a possibility, I think they're high on this kid. Now, look, 2 days went by in the draft, and he didn't get his name called. So let's not go too crazy. I think he's got a real chance because I think there's a real spot for him alongside Evans. I think he's got a chance.
Well, there's certainly an opportunity. No question about that. By the way, you polluted your own podcast. A lot of Bucks fans think that. You just did because you invoked Conte's name. Some people, he drives us so nuts, they want him.
Well, he's the incumbent starter, Lee.
So, let's go there, right? So simply stated, this guy on Twitter is so upset with the draft. He sends a message. The text itself wasn't a direct threat at Jason Light, but he was a little bit threatening, and he sends a video of a murder scene from a movie. And the Bucks are investigating. Tampa Bay Times writes it up. National chatter is outraged. They want this guy arrested. What do you make of it?
Well, much ado about nothing. But in this day and age, Lee, you don't take any chances.
You stole the words out of my mouth. We live in dangerous times, unfortunately.
You don't know what people are capable of doing.
Well, look down in South Florida, how many passes they gave that kid, and he goes down and mows down all those students. I mean, completely ignored all kinds of warning signs. And then not too long ago, maybe 2 months ago, a guy who, oddly enough, played for the Dolphins, can't remember his name, was from California, he put out a vague Instagram message where it had a picture of a gun and his old high school. And it turned out the dude was going to do something.
Steve, it's the times we live in. It's the times we live in. You know, 10 years ago, everybody would have laughed it off. Ah, hyperbole. He's not happy with Conte. You know, don't worry about it. It's a stupid threat. Don't take him seriously. Times have changed.
I mean,
Steve,
I'm pretty much a First Amendment absolutist. I don't own a gun, but I'm very much pro Second Amendment. But as you say, Dyer, we live in a very dangerous time.
He stepped over the line a bit, Steve. He just did. He knows he did. He knows he was wrong. He knows he was wrong. Is it a national story? Well, on a weekend that there isn't a lot of national news, maybe it is.
Just wanted your sage wisdom, Ira. I think sometimes these things get blown out of proportion, but there's no harm in investigating. That's what the investigators are for. Bucks sick their security team on it. They'll probably call law enforcement out there, check the guy out. And
I think there's more of a chance of the parrot taking a dump in Light's backyard, flying over Light's backyard.
I'm going to steal Steve's thunder. He asked this before we started the recording. Did the Bucks instantly activate a team of investigators when Jameis was accused of the Uber? Or they stick their head in the ground like, it's NFL's problem?
Yeah. They probably sent Andre over to go check this guy out and make sure he's not a nut job. Which I don't think he is, but he got carried away.
I still don't know how they let you in the building, Ira, but that's another story. All right, forget about the draft. We're going to hit that, the rest of the draft, and some of these interesting undrafted guys in the next podcast. We still got a couple of picks to talk about, some other angles. But, Ira, the draft party on Thursday night, 700, that a fair estimate at Buffalo Wild Wings?
I believe it is.
I think so. Buffalo Wild Wings, South Tampa, teaming up with the commish. Of course, Derek Brooks was there. People were crying. alcohol helps with that. Brooks was great. Spent a lot of time. Really went out of his way for a lot of people. Wanted pictures and chatting and all that. But Brent Grimes was there. What do you make of him spending a lot of time there? Like he didn't just do a cameo with Miko for 15 minutes. He's playing cornhole. He's hanging out for hours.
I think it's stunning. I think it's absolutely stunning. The first thing that comes to my mind is, he really likes this town,
Brent,
and likes this organization. I mean, he re-signed. Certainly, there were other people interested in Brent Grimes, the way he's playing, how much he's got left in his
tank. You don't think Belichick would have wanted him?
And, at least as importantly, as it turns out, Miko likes this town, the Buck fan base, and the organization.
I'm told,
which I think is a great tribute to the Bucks.
I think Miko is wonderful. I know some don't like her, but whatever. I'm told that she gave you a warm embrace.
I got a hug. I got a bigger hug than I got out of Brent. But I thought that was a great sign, a symbol that
solidarity.
The Bucks are doing something right here with Grimes. He could have retired. He could have went somewhere else. Maybe he could have made more money somewhere else. Then he shows up at our party. Tremendous plus for the party.
Now, I got to paint a little picture here.
By the way, he's damn good in cornhole. Damn good.
I was very pleased with the fans because got to understand, you know, if you weren't there, and most of our listeners were not there, obviously they would have been out of control. But, you know, hundreds of people there. This is an intense crowd. I'd say 80% were wearing a jersey or some sort of Bucks gear, 90%. A lot of drinking going on. And so here's Miko Grimes, very polarizing figure to say the least. And she's with Brent, mostly in the outdoor area. But she's going in for drinks herself to the bar, and the bar is 2 and 3 deep. She's leaning over. There could have been a variety of guys.
Everybody gave her space.
But a lot of guys. Somebody could have grabbed her. Somebody could have been appropriate with her, and she's in a sea of fans. Everybody was very respectful, nice, accommodating, talking, bold crapping. You know, it was I was glad that there were no incidents at all, really. She had to feel very comfortable. She was all smiles. We all saw Rock Riley's video. Kudos to Rock for putting the job in there and having some fun with it.
That says a lot about Bucks fans.
Said a lot about Bucks fans, listeners to Bucks Uncensored. And I got to say, I've never seen anybody worshipped. Like, it was like being like in Buckingham Palace and the king walks out when you're walking around this place.
It's unbelievable. You know, I got home. My wife said, how was it? I said, the chance. Sage. She goes, hey, Nudnik, go take the garbage out. See, she put me right back into my place.
Dante needed a walk.
That's what I need. Yeah, go walk. Dante, he can't. He's bunking into everything. Go give him a walk. You know, I want to say another thing about Buck fans. I show up 3.5 hours before the Browns kick off the draft. There's 20, 25 Buck fans in the place. Now, first of all, don't these people work? What's going on over there? But it was great. I thought I'd be the first one in there, you know, with a couple of barmaids. No. they're in there drinking. They've already been there an hour. They got Buck jerseys on. You know, they give me a warm embrace. Hey, Ira, sit with us. I didn't reach into my pocket all night long.
Wow. Like,
not all night long. You know, I still had the same 12 bucks I started with. Isbitz came up big, gave me the little bracelet. For the buffet, people buying me drinks, vodka cranberries, all kinds of colors, Steve says. It was a great night, and I want to get this out, you know, to all the fans that did show, a lot of them from out of town. I met a couple of Sixer fans. The guy gave me a Sixer hat.
Oh, wow.
Javier was dead from Panama. The guy from Hawaii. Guys from all California represented, and the most prevalent comment, as I shook people's hands, love the podcast. The second most prevalent comment, keep those two schlemiels in line like you do, Ira. Don't let them run roughshod over you. But a lot of positive, and I'm sure Steve got the same thing about the podcast. Steve, any comments about the podcast that you remember?
Oh, a lot of love for the podcast. A lot of people, you know, really, when you talk to a lot of people about the podcast, you realize that they're really paying attention to every last word. You know, I could drop a one-liner last July that I switched to Charmin, and someone's going to bring that up. You know,
and the biggest complaint, if there is one.
Me.
No.
Too short.
Too short or post it a little earlier. We want it on the drive into work. Post it, Steve. Post it.
But I have to say, in fairness, I did get people who say, hey, I don't understand this obsession with posting it early. When it comes, I'm happy. I turn it on. So,
people are eager for it.
A lot of positive reinforcement.
A lot of love. A lot of love for the Sage.
Well, we know why he showed up early. He invoked barmaids, so that's why he showed up.
Yeah, it was correct. You know, the party was supposed to start at 6 o'clock, and I was there about 5:30. I had to be 150 people there. It didn't start yet. You know, and it was still starting early, and they were there wondering about the buffet. It's like, hey, the party didn't start yet. Calm down.
And Wild Wings, you guys did a great job. Barmaids, tremendous. You know,
all right, we're going out on that note. Barmaids,
tremendous.